According to the instruction of all the lineage lamas of this tradition, it is important in the beginning to adjust one's motivation. So think clearly that you're here in this occasion to receive these most profound teachings of the Mahayana, not just for yourself, but for the sake of sentient beings. Sentient beings who have been your mothers in the past are as vast as the vastness of space. For their sake, you aspire to reach this precious state of perfect and complete enlightenment, the state that is characterized by the full development of all positive qualities and the total elimination of all negativity. With this particular thought in your mind, please adjust your motivation.
Urvashi started first of all by explaining some of the aspects in the biography of Lama Tsongkhapa, some of the aspects of his practice and what he manifested. The great Lama Tsongkhapa is said by many that he is already manifestation of Maitreya, Buddha of Maitreya, but for the ordinary appearance, for the ordinary person, he assumed the path where he showed the way of following the path of an ordinary person. But so he went through the stage of hearing and collecting and gathering a lot of teachings. But this hearing or this listening of the teaching was not an ordinary or limited hearing of the teaching. Rather, it was a deed that was done extensively. So an excessive amount of hearing and listening into the Dharma initially was established. And after that, according to the measure of the hearing that had taken place, also the reflection or the contemplation on that material was also done extensively. And eventually the act of meditation or familiarization with this material was again done in the most extensive way. And we have this particular location where Lama Tsongkhapa retrieved in order to complete his practices. It is the location of Oka, which is close to the Loka area of Lhasa. And it is said that Lama Tsongkhapa performed many deeds, many preliminary deeds, such as offering hundreds of thousands of prostrations, mandalas, and in order to prepare for his final realization of emptiness. And it was in this particular place that he had this perceptual realization of emptiness. And after that, he engaged in the deed of composing the praise into interdependence. And it was the Buddha Shakyamuni himself who had actually predicted the coming of Lama Tsongkhapa when long time ago he had addressed Manjushri himself, and he said, "I predict that in the future, Manjushri, you will assume the aspect of an ordinary being. You will come into the world of humans as an ordinary being. Nevertheless, the deeds that will be performed by this being will be the extraordinary activities of an enlightened Buddha." And it is said that this particular prediction of the Buddha very clearly defines the coming of Lama Tsongkhapa into this world. Some say that, of course, the Buddha had made various predictions for various great practitioners, various great beings, but none of them is as clear as this particular prediction of the coming of Lama Tsongkhapa. So, for example, there are other predictions referring to Arya Sangha, to, you know, other great disciples, but none as clear as this.
ဝတိတတမ္ပညမရဇုဘဂျီနီဝတိတကာတန်တိဓမ္မေဘဂုဏိဆောင်ကြီးလာချွချွန်စရာဒီကွန်ရှိစီချင်းဆောင်ရင်ကျွန်တော်တမ္ပလာနာမည်ဝတ္တဆောင်ကြီးကြောင့်တဲ့ဒီရှိဝတိညေကြီးဒီကွန်ပညီကြီးတောင်းမရဇုကျက်တဘရင်တမရဇုတင်ကြီးဒီကျက်တဘရင်ဇုဘနောင်းရင်ကိုဆောင်ရုံဒီဓမ္မေဘရင်ဓမ္မေဘဝတိတဇုဘတေဟောဓမ္မေဘဆောင်တေဟောဓမ္မေဘတင်ရကဂုဏီကွန်ရှိစီချင်းဆောင်ရင်ကျွန်တော်တမ္ပလာနာ And
as I say, after Lama Tsongkhapa had this realization of emptiness, he composed the text of praise interdependence, and in that he actually stresses that whatever experience and whatever realization he had is due to the kindness of the Buddha. So in one of these verses it says, I praise the Buddha as being unsurpassable, unsurpassable in his comprehension, unsurpassable in his affection, unparalleled, uncompared with anyone else, since I have seen the ultimate that was proclaimed by him.
And ແລະຈင်းຈະຕິຈໍໂຕຍັດໂຕຈິດຕ້ອງຈົກກະລະມີນັ້ນຢູ່ຈິລົງຈະເຕັນເຊນະດາໂອຈິດາຈິຕ້ອງກະວານີຊອນນັ້ນມາຈິຍິໂອຈິຕັນນະກະຈິວະຕັນບາໂຕຊິຈິກະລະຊິກໍຈິຊະນອງຍິກະມາລະທາວະສັມຈິຍາມແນກໍຈິມິຊອນນັ້ນເຕັນຕ້ອງມີຖຶງຕ້ອງຊິຕິນະກະຈິບຈິໂອດິງ
ဝေဂျီဒေနောနောဂတဘေယောဂျီဝေဂျီဒေတောညစနေဘောဂျီညာမနေတင်ရယုဒင်းဝေဂျီချရညသိတပိစံသနောဒရမညနာဂျီဒေတောဒင်းစင်ဝေဂျီဒတ်တင်ငောဂျီတိဂျီနောဂညံဘူတိငောလာမီယန်တုရမ္ပညီကမရတဘကမရတန်စုစံတင်ဝေဂျီဒတ်တင်ရယုဂုနိဒသံဂျီမချဘဝေဂျီတောငောရှုရှုဒီရယန်တုတင်ရနောဂျံကတိဂျင်ဂျီဂျင်ဂျီကံကြောင့်တင်ဇံကြောင့်ပေစံကချာနိဒန်တင်တမေဘချီယန်တင်
As I say, the Great Lamas and Kapa had these realizations, and it is said that if one actually examines his work, the works have been composed by him, and the teachings that are presented by him, one can see how extensive they are and how they totally include and unite every aspect of the path. We can see how the basic training of the three area trainings is included into that, and we can see how he thoroughly explains everything from the internal to the external, as well as to the most secret. And eventually, in the presentation of Tantra, he presents how one can unite all the paths of the different levels of the paths of Tantra. And if Lama Tsongkhapa has offered us, has prepared such a presentation of all the practices, all the paths that are to be practiced, it is said that the followers of Lama Tsongkhapa should also make an effort to rely in such a way where they would cover all these paths, they will keep into mind, they will incorporate all these teachings in their paths.
ကျေဇွန်ဘဘုဒ္ဓကျိုးကြီးရမကြီးဝါဒတဲ့နောင်ကကျေကောင်းကားကညံဘုဒ္ဓကျော်ဝါဒင်းတော်ကကလံရမကြီးကရင်တင်းဒါတိဒီနောင်ကနောင်ဇံကမောရမကြီးမောဒတိကမ္မနာတကတော်ကျွာနောင်ကြရီကျေဇွန်ဒီဝံဖောလိကဇောရမရမငါတိမရကြချင်းကျွာချင်းမရဆောင်ရတင်းတော်ဝတ္တကြီးဝကျူတာလာမီကဇောရမရှင်ကောင်းကတိနောင်ဝဆရ
ကျူနန်ဒူဒီဝဆောဒါဆောင်ကြပါယံဘယံဒူဒါတိချီချီတာဒီလီဂျူနီတာကတ်နောကဆဝဘာဒီဝကျူဒါနထမောဂွန်ဒီတာအလွန်ဒလီတာရှိဒီချီတာဒီဂါဂျေတာတောင်းချင်းကြောင့်တည်ဒီဝဒဂျင်ဇေကောဘန်သံဒီတန်ဒနာယူဝယံဘယု
The volumes that have been composed by Lama Tsongkhapa, there are at least 18 of those volumes, but if one were to extract the essence of all these teachings, one would have to talk about the stages of the path, whether it is sutra or whether it is tantra. But in particular, when we look at the tantric teachings, the tantric stages of the path is a very important work. And in that, as we say, different practices of different tantric system are presented, but the main system that is taken as the basis is the system of Guhya Samaja, and in particular the five stages of that system are thoroughly explained. So having given, let's say, the source material for this text that we are also studying, we go back into the point where we stopped yesterday. We're at the point of physical isolation, and we have said that through this practice of physical isolation, there is a way of positing the generation of the blisses, of bringing the winds into the central channel, and so forth.
ပေါ်တဲ့ဒီနေ့ကအဆုံးအရုံဆုံးစရပတိကောင်ကစရဒီအောင်နဲ့ဆောင်ကျရူကြည့်ကောင်ကိုရင်ဒီမီဒါဆောင်ကျရူကြည့်သူရည်တိကြပါသူချင်းချောင်းကရူကြဝတ်တဲ့စရဒီကဒုကညောရတောင်ကတောင်ကရူကြဝတ်သူချင်းချောင်းကိုရင်ဒီမီယောင်ကျစရဒီအောင်နဲ့ဒီနေ့ဖတ်တမ်းယောင်နဲ့ရဝတ်သူချင်းချောင်းလေးမှာရဲ့ရဝတ်ရင်းငါရှိဟောတဲ့ဒီလီရူဆုံးရှိဒါဒီနေ့ကြည့်ကိုရူကြဝတ်သူချင်းချောင်းကိုရင်ဒီမီ
Now, we're at the point of examining the practice of physical isolation, and we said that in that we can do the practice on the basis of the 100 lineages, 5 lineages, 3 lineages, or eventually condensing everything into one single lineage, what would be the lineage of Dorje Chang, of Vajradhara. Now, we have explained that there is a way not only of reducing the lineages, but also the way of increasing and reversing this process, so going from the 1 to multiplying into 3, the 3 into 5, the 5 into 100. And we come now into the point of discussing the mode of generating different types of bliss, independence of the movement of the melted bodhicitta. So if we go at the beginning of page 33, it says, further, it is stated in the Vajra Rosary that when bodhicitta moves from the crown to the throat, from there to the heart, from there to the navel, and there from the secret place, the four joys are generated. So the source of our material is Vajra Rosary, composed Aryanagarjuna has given us this information. So it says that first of all, as we observe the movement or the descent of the melted bodhicitta, we see it moving from the crown to the throat. And when it reaches into the throat, we have the experience of the first joy. When it moves from the throat down to the heart, we experience supreme joy. When it moves from the heart to the navel, we experience special joy. And when it moves from the navel down to the secret area, we experience innate joy. When we look at the term of this last joy, innate joy, it is called innate because it is something that does not need to be fabricated. It is already existent. It exists innately within the basis of the type of aggregates that we have attained through birth. Having attained this type of aggregates, on the basis of that, this bliss can be generated. It does not need to be fabricated. And this particular type of bliss, which is the most intense of all of them, is the perfect type of blissful consciousness to direct it towards emptiness. Now, it is said that for each one of those joys, each one of these joys can be subdivided into 4. So you can have the joy of the joy, the supreme of the joy, the special of the joy, and the innate of the joy, and so forth. And in this way, end up with 16 types of blisses, of joys.
ဝိဒတ်တင်ရရင်ဒီဝိဒတ်တင်ရချူတော့ကဝချူတော့တတ်တင်မာဘိုးစံတန်းခမ်မာဘိုးတန်ဘပ္ပချာနေစုံစံတဲ့ရှင်ဒီဝိဒတ်ကဝချင်းကြီးစီတတ်ဒီချက်ချင်းတကလေးစီရတနာမရဆောင်ဆောင်ကြီးဒီတတ်ဒီကရစီကိုဒီကျတော့ဒီခမ်ခမ်ကရမန်ကြီးကြီးမင်္ဂလာချင်းခမ်တူတဲ့တောင်ဘူးကြီး
What classification of the four joys into four each, which makes up a total of 16, is actually from the point of the descent of the white bodhicitta. But then again, we have to examine the descent of the red bodhicitta and the experiences of joy that are generated from that. Now, let's explain a little bit about the origin of this, of the white and the red substances. At the time of conception, the white and red substance of father and mother come together, and on top of that, or inside that, we have the consciousness of the bardo being entering there. And then from that point onwards, which is the point of conception, the embryo is gradually developed through those nine months. The original place where the original substances, the white and the red drop that we receive from the mother and the father, abide is at the area of the heart. But later on, during the phase of development, we see that a part of this white substance moves upwards towards the crown of the head, you can say towards the brain of the head, and that becomes the seat or the main source of the white substance. As for the red substance, it moves from the heart down into the navel and establishes the navel area as being its main position, as its seat, right, or its origin, where it's mostly generated. Now, we have explained how we can have the descent of the white drop and how it goes from the crown to the throne, from the throat to the heart, from the heart to the navel, and from there the secret place. So we have four phases of descent. When we talk about the red substance, Rinpoche was saying that mostly we look at it from the point of view of three points of descent, starting from the original place, which is the heart, and then from the heart going down to the navel, from the navel going down to the secret place. Now, this would explain how we actually have the classification of the further division of the red substance coming into 12 rather than into 16, because we have 4 by 3 making 12 for that. This explanation is stated in the Mahamudra drop. So if we look at our text, it says, and it is stated in the Mahamudra drop that for each of such joys, there are 16 joys from the perspective of the descent of white bodhicitta through differentiating them in 4 each, and there are 12 joys from the perspective of the descent of red drops through differentiating them in 3 each. These are the 4 descending joys. And then the method of generating the 4 ascending joys is that joy is generating through bodhicitta moving from the secret place to the navel, from there to the heart, etc. And the method of generating the 16 and 12 joys is similar. So first you cause the descending joys through the downward flow of bodhicittas, and then when they reach the secret place, you do not allow those to be emitted externally, but rather you draw them up and you reverse the process, and you have the ascending joys.
Now, we move into the next statement, which says that it is said that the ascending joys are by far superior to the descending one. And if it is any of the ascending joys, it is pervasive that it is innate joy. But then we have another statement from the explanation of the 5 levels of the bell. Now, this is actually a text composed by Lama Tsongkhapa, and it is a text describing... Yes, let me finish. So this is a text composed by Lama Tsongkhapa explaining the practice of Hieruka, which is a mother tantra. And in the practice of Hieruka, we have 2 lineages. And one of those lineages is actually the lineage of Mahasiddha Tripupa, which if, you know, I was going through a phase where I thought everything had to be translated into English. So I have translated the name of the Mahasiddha as being, you know, the explanation of the 5 levels of the bell, meaning the lineage of Tripupa, the Mahasiddha with the bell, right? And it is stated there that there is also a case for positing the bliss of the first 3 descending joys to be innate bliss. So it doesn't mean that in all cases the descending joy has to be lesser than innate, because according to the constitution of each one of the practitioners, there will be different cases. And there are cases of people who have almost every type of joy they generate is going to be in the case of innate bliss.
ဟုတ်ကြည့်တဲ့ဒီလိုဒါဒီနေ့ရောင်းကြည့်ကရစေကိုငါကြည့်ချွာတမ်းကြည့်ချောင်းစံဘာပရမ္ဘာငါရှိပါတရနေတင်းအောင်ခြင်းကိုရောင်းကြည့်အချင်းမကူးငီဟုတ်ကြည့်တာမောင်းချွာကြည့်ညချွတ်တော်ကတော့တင်ရရင်ဒီခါရှိလာမှုမတပါယူတင်ဒီယင်ပါယင်သူဟုတ်ကြည့်တာဒုတိကြည့်ပြင်းနာငဝဲကငဝရကြည့်
Now, not only that, but there is another case which will make the third case in this argument, right? Explaining the different types of bliss and the levels of bliss. Ramsha was saying that, as a matter of fact, you can cause this experience of innate bliss through the igniting of the tumor, right? So it's not always through this entrance.
Or
So if we look at the next paragraph, it says all cases of generating the four joys do not need to be generated according to the explanation of the five stages of descending bodhicitta, because it is said that the four joys are generated from the gathering of melted bodhicitta in the heart from above and below once the vajra repetition has ignited the chandali, the tumor. There are many things to be investigated in this subject, and I, the author, will explain them briefly in the case of mental isolation. So we are still at the level of physical isolation, and there's quite a lot of things to be investigated in this particular area. The author says I will do that further down in the text.
Now, we continue with another issue that is dealing with the four joys and the four empties, and whether these two things need to be associated, whether they are always generated in the same one in the nature of the other or not. It says, since it is stated that for some types of individuals, there is generation of the four joys without the winds having dissolved in the central channel, in general, we do not posit the four joys as the four empties. Now, there are cases where the four joys are generated in the nature of the four empties, but it says here it will not happen for all individuals.
Nevertheless, the four joys are generated in the nature of the four empties because many scholars explain this point in accordance with the Mahamudra dropped, which states that the four joys are the four empties. So we have a number of statements from well-qualified scholars that tell us that this is the case. Yet we know that there are some exceptions to that. In this context, in accordance with the assertion of Tupapel, great scholar, the four emptiness are explained to be serially generated when the bodhicitta reaches the root of the jewel, the neck of the jewel, the center of the jewel, and the tip of the jewel. Now, previously we have described we had explained a descent of bodhicitta through different parts of the body. Here we're talking about the generation of the four empties through bodhicitta moving at, let's say, the four sublocations of the jewel, the root, the neck, the center, and the tip. And then the illuminating lamp states this to be a very serious point to be agreed upon. So, as you said, there are different ways of looking at examining the descent of bodhicitta, of moving at different parts of the body. It says, if one explains all primordial awareness of the four empties to be just the four joys derived from the bodhicitta proceeding from the crown to the secret place and from there up to the crown, then Jayamuchi has stated again and again that one has not comprehended the important points of this system. Because, as I say, you can see there are these variations, and it's not that in all cases the four empties are simply the four joys. When one is able to generate innate bliss from above and below, one should meditate in equipoise on emptiness, which lacks inherent existence, through uniting the object and the object possessor. So we say that through these different methods we cause eventually the descent and the movement of bodhicitta, and through that we are experiencing various types of bliss. When we come to the experience of innate bliss, which we described as being the most intense of those blisses, we have actually generated a very subtle wind and a very subtle mind, and this is the ideal object possessor, the ideal mind or consciousness to be directed towards emptiness, because it is the most subtle ones. When one arises from that through the power of the movement of the winds, one recalls the bliss and emptiness of equipoise, and one seals whatever appears in that. So initially one stays in equipoise, generating this particularly subtle wind and mind, which blissful wind and mind, which is then directed towards emptiness. And then as the winds stir, one moves from that equipoise and moves into the phase of post-equipoise. But then again we say that by causing the winds, right, by causing either the five sense awareness, or even adding into that the mental awareness, and by stopping the different type of consciousness engaging external objects, one gathers everything inside. So if one restrains inappropriate attention, all appearing objects don't as please, and later through the condition of igniting bliss, the winds engaging through the doors of the senses, they re-enter, and sense awareness also withdraws. Therefore, as stated before, bliss is generated through the winds dissolving. So you're causing, by stopping the different types of awareness, consciousness, whether it is the five central consciousness or whether you add on that the mental consciousness, by stopping them to go out, you cause the winds to re-enter, right, to come in, and everything withdraws again. So everything, all the bliss that is generated in this particular way.
This first part, the generating the four bliss and experiencing the seeing the four emptiness, that is not the general body but the Vajra body. That's the replaced Vajra body, the very first one here.
Ori dadina jida dadini dandana dadluyen gur mara dashi di mara sanyang guyvari ojuda luyen jida shi yudi dadvenji luna rabai nishi saudang si kartanga tambarugja shi sago ojuda tuya nishi jiva teli nganga shine rugja tivari wa dina yendu oda tuya gu ji nishi wudi luyen ziji ရန်ရကအမကြီးရန်ရကရစ်တီရပိုင်းညချို့ဝတီယင်တင်ဝံဘေချောဝံဘေကြီးလူတီရပိုင်းညင်ငါဝတီယင်တင်ကာရုကဝံဝံပါရစေနာဝံကျေနသမရကျေနောင်းရှင်တီဂျီရညချို့ဝတီတန်နီတီတန်လာသမရဘနမဒောရှင်ဘဂမရကျင်တင်တော်ယွာယင်သူသမရဘနမဒောရှင်ဘဒီကုန်တော့ဘနမဒောရှင်ဘငူဝဂျူတန်ညချို့ဝတီလာ အရိဒရီရီရီလာညရင္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င္င
Then we come to the last paragraph of this particular section, which is explaining the etymology and the reason and the need for doing this practice. So it says the etymology of the term physical isolation exists because the physical basis of isolation is the 20 gross objects, etc. So yesterday we talked about the how we do this meditation, where we examine the 20 gross objects that exist within that some of them exist within, some of them without the continuum of the meditator, and how eventually we see them as going through the process of purification and being transformed into the resultant state of the five Buddha lineages. When we talk about those 20 gross elements, we need to understand that they will exist in an impure state during the time of the basis as well as during the time of the path. And here when we talk about the time of the path, we talk about from the beginning where one enters the path of accumulation of the tantric path all the way up to the path of normal learning of tantra. So up to that point one will possess those 20 impure bases. Now through the process of practice one applies during purifying agents, and those 20 gross impure subjects eventually will be totally purified, and at the resultant state they will manifest in the nature, in the aspect of the five Buddha families. So these are the 20 gross objects and that need to be isolated. The cause of isolation is generating the appearance and conception of oneself as ordinary. So the reason why we need to do this practice to isolate things is because we have this tendency to see everything as ordinary. And the meaning of isolation is meditating on those as being the aspect of bliss and emptiness or as being deities. We come to the last point where we're discussing the point that if it is physical isolation, it does not need to conform to the full etymology and vice versa. So it says, thus to be physical isolation, it does not need to conform to that full etymology. And if it does conform to the complete etymology of physical isolation, it does not need to be physical isolation. Because, look at this example, from the verbal isolation onwards, one meditates on everything that appears as being sealed by bliss and emptiness. Right, so from that point onwards, not only from physical isolation, but anything above that is meditation, where everything is sealed, is seen as an appearance of bliss and emptiness. So if it conforms to a definition, it doesn't mean that it has to be only physical isolation.
Now,
Rinpoche was looking at at this particular, was making a comment on this last statement where it says if it is physical isolation, it doesn't have to fully conform to the etymology, or if it fully conforms to the etymology, it doesn't necessarily have to be only physical isolation. If we look at it from the point of view of another example, we look at the lotus flower, and quite often this is referred to as the water-born, that is, because it's something that appears or it's born out of the water. You can say the etymology is born out of water, and the actual state or the actual thing is the lotus flower. And this might be a good example of something which is really conforms to the etymology, but it doesn't mean that everything that comes out of the water will be lotus, right? And also it doesn't mean that every flower will have to come out of the water. So this is an example of how something can conform to the etymology or not. Having presented the definition as well as the different classifications of the practices that fall under the heading or the general name of Vajra Bodhi, physical isolation, we come now into the second level of this practice, which is the concentration of the Vajra speech, verbal isolation. We start with the definition of that in order to explain the lower and the upper limits of this practice. So it says the nature of the second stage of the sixfold division, and here we are to understand that this refers to the sixfold division of the completion stage according to the Arya Akshobhya system of Guhya Samaja. So the second stage of that particular system, of the Arya system, is the completion stage practice of the yogi, which starts from which point? From the generation of the primordial awareness, of appearance, derived from the winds entering, abiding and dissolving into the central channel at the heart by meditating on the mantra drop at the top of the heart. So let's explain that. When we say to meditate on the mantra drop at the top of the heart, you visualize the channel wheel at the heart, and at the very center of that channel wheel, that the center is what is described by this term, the top of the heart. You place a mantra drop, right? And by meditating on that, you can cause the winds to enter, abide and dissolve, and through that you're causing a specific type of primordial awareness to arise. So this is the beginning of the practice, and it goes all the way up to, but not including, the generation of primordial awareness of appearance derived from causing the winds to enter, abide, and dissolve in the indestructible drop at the heart through completely loosening the channel knots at the heart by the strength of meditation. So you have not yet reached the point of causing these types of primordial awareness to arise, because you have completely loosened up the knots and you have caused the winds to enter at the indestructible drop at the heart.